Welcome to Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, I just absolutely love Saturday mornings. And it's still dark here in the Pacific Northwest, in our part of the country where the sun does not, this time of year, does not come up until, another 15, 20 minutes or so. I think it's actually up, but it's still actually a little dark. So those of you in parts of the country and those of you listening to the recorded version of Saturday AM Live, it's probably a little brighter than it is here. So I want to welcome you, and I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to spend, 30, 35 minutes and educating yourself on what some of the simple things that we can do to make our life better so that we are a better service to those around us. So this is Vance Rogers again, for those of you who are new to the call, have never joined us before, and we're going to spend the next 35 minutes educating ourselves and learning from somebody who, how do I want to say this, June? Her entry into Nika, and those proverbial people, as someone shared with me last night at the donkey basketball game, which I don't, if you ever get asked to play in one of those, I'm not sure, so sure I want to be as gung-ho as the second go-around. I don't have any war wounds, but I did come off the animal a few times. more often than I wanted to, and the look of the crowd when I panned over and saw our two-year-old screaming and crying, because she didn't like the fact that Daddy was on this beast. But we won. The firefighters in our small little town, we are the victors, and we have little bubble butt donkeys trophies to prove it. But anyhow, that donkeys are pretty stubborn, and they don't really want to go the direction you want to, and when you're dragging them, they're just going to fight back even harder. And June, you were one of those. I'm not calling you a jackass. I would never do that. Never, ever, ever. However, you were pretty stubborn when you came on board with Niken, to the point that you only have two feet on the ground, whereas a donkey has four to really dig in and put those skid marks across that proverbial parking lot or floor or whatever. But your mom was dead set, literally, on providing this solution for you. Why was it? Why were you so stubborn about joining the Niken family? Tell us a little bit about that. Let's have some fun with this conversation.
Well, like maybe some others on the call, I had been kind of tricked into going to some of the other meetings with other companies. And my mom, who lived about 3.5 hours away from me, had been quite ill. I mean, she was steps away from, had been actually signing herself into a progressive living facility in her young 60s. She was in and out of a wheelchair, and she had been introduced to the Niken products. And for about 6 months, when she would come and visit me, she never told me. She would just every once in a while say, have you seen my little magnet? And I'm like, no, Mom. I don't know what you're talking about, but I haven't seen it. So anyway, kind of speeding ahead, she had a tremendous, tremendous response to the products.
And in what ways? A little magnet, what was she using it for?
Basically, she had been introduced by some friends who hadn't seen her for about 7 years. And in that 7 years, she had gone completely downhill. She has one of those diseases that affects all of your nerves, all of your joints. And then on top of that, she had every single disease that ends in an IS. So figure that out. She thought when she purchased a couple products from them that she was helping them out with their business. He was starting a new church in South Florida. And within 2 or 3 days of using a couple of the little round discs, she saw a result. So she went ahead, called him up, joined the company primarily to get her products wholesale, and used the products for about five. She ordered everything they had. So that was back, I don't know how many products they had back then, but the sleep system, Mag Steps, the seat. And quite honestly, Vance, nothing happened after that. And she continued to use the products because of the fact that she had purchased them. And so I'm just going to throw this in here. I'm not a big advocate of loaning products.
Now, I want to, you brought up the subject, and I think it's so, so incredibly pivotal for us to understand that if Niken was started in 1975 and they've impacted literally millions of people's lives, the products, the solutions that we have, they're not on trial. The judges already weighed in, and the solutions that we have that are found in nature, they work. And June, I just want to send you a kudo through the phone lines right now and say thank you. Because all we're doing when we're saying, well, yeah, you want to borrow this, you want to check it out, let's see if it'll work for you. No, it'll work. It's a law of physics. And so your mom literally is a prime example of why not to. And again, I'm not saying that in every single case that we can't utilize that, but as you just said, I'm not an advocate for that. So eventually something happened.
It took her 5 weeks.
Five weeks.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she was also the caretaker of my grandmother, who at the time was about 90. And my grandmother said to her, look at you, you're running around the house. And my mother said, yeah, I am. And she said, my grandmother said to her, well, it must be those products you purchased. And so at that point, my mom started to share what was happening. She wasn't doing the business. She was sharing with friends. In her mind, she wasn't doing a business. And what started to happen, her friends really never went anywhere. Everybody else is out on the West Coast. And all my mom was doing was sharing products, calling in orders, and handing out applications with her ID number on them. Because in those days, we were faxing things in. So all of a sudden, my mom starts getting these checks in the mail. And so she looked a little further into it. And speeding ahead, she got in touch with the Branhams, who were about 7 levels up from her at that point, and flew out there with a friend of hers, stayed at their home, and started to do the business. And came back to Florida and started to talk to me about it, because I, at that particular time, was part owner of a residential appraisal company. I was working about 70 hours a week. I was grossly overweight. I was stressed to the hilt. I wasn't sleeping. And she saw that she felt that this would change my life. And I kept saying, don't talk to me about that company. I don't want to hear anything about it.
Now, you also, if I remember correctly, you also, as a result of an auto accident, had some other stuff going on.
Yes. I also had been in a parked car without a seatbelt. And a drunken driver, who was also on drugs, slammed into the car. The car took off, hit a tree, and I wound up in the front seat on my head. I was taken by ambulance to Florida Hospital, released several hours later, and told there was nothing wrong with me. And for the next 6 years, which was right up, probably about 4 years into my mom now at this point, I couldn't move my neck from side to side. I'd have to lift my head in the morning with my hands underneath it, and I had horrific headaches. And every place I went, they kept telling me there was nothing wrong. And finally my mom said, look, you take your dogs all over the world, I'm taking you to the Mayo Clinic. And they properly diagnosed that I had 3 cracked vertebrae, but now it's 6 years, and they had melded together, and arthritis had set in there. So they said, the good news is, it's not your imagination. The bad news is there's not a thing we can do for you.
Your body had already started the process of healing the injury. The problem was it was healing it, and it kind of healed it in the wrong direction, and therefore there was nothing, medically that could be done to fix it, unless I guess they went in and just broke everything again, but they're not going to do that, especially.
And they actually mentioned that and said, it's too risky. We can't do it.
Okay.
So live with it.
So here you are, you're stressed out to the max, and you use the word overweight, and just in all those physical things that we put our bodies through, they do cause the emotional and the mental and the spiritual side to be out of balance and be stressed. therefore, and I think you even said weren't sleeping. So in comes Mom with this these magic magnets, so to speak, and you were not real keen on, you know, what was your skepticism? What was the root of that, June? Why?
Basically, the root of it was because it was network marketing. That was one of the major factors.
Okay. And because you had worked with the company that...
In a 2-year period, I had 3 different people, including of a former colleague from AT&T when I'd worked corporate days, who had driven 3.5-4 hours for lunch to see me, and meanwhile it was an Amway production. And so I had this in my head that, first of all, this is a cult. This is not good. She's been brainwashed by these people. So what? She came out of a wheelchair. I'm thrilled. But they've got her involved in some kind of weird thing. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Okay, so again, just based on your experience at this point, you're just thinking that all network marketing companies have got to be the same because you had one bad experience, and you know it's like the proverbial person who has one bad experience with a clerk at a particular grocery store, and they make a decision, you know, I don't care if she was having a bad day, by golly, I'm not going back to that store because, you know, blah, blah, fill in the blank. We as human beings, we just automatically... we become stubborn and our mindset becomes altered based on one thing, and yet that one decision for you simply delayed your body getting the experience that was about to happen.
Yes.
And what was it she did, what was it that she said that finally convinced you to say, hey, maybe I could take a look at this Neekin thing?
Basically, in Orlando, they have a huge, huge craft show, and I was also doing several part-time jobs, one of which was holding little booths in these craft shows, and this one particular show I was involved in was huge, and I had been on my feet for 3.5 days, and my mom had come up to help me, and several other friends were there, and I said, my feet are just killing me. And she said to me, well, I have these inserts in my shoes. Would you like to try them? Now, you know, the loaning thing, but... And I'm like, all right, fine, Mom, you know, let's just get this over with. So I stuck them in my shoes, and a couple hours later, she said to me, so how are your feet? And I said, well, quite honestly, they're not as bad. And she said, good. So the next morning, she said to me, you know, your dog's still got a problem. You've got a problem. You had a good experience. What I'd like to do is sell you a twin-size mattress pad and a pillow at wholesale. I'm willing to do that. And I'm like, fine. Let's just get this over with and let's move forward. So she went ahead. I bought the products. I did not sign up. And I'd spent over $10,000 on surgeries for a dog that had severe elbow dysplasia, which is more or less a problem where the cartridge is separating and she had been limping. And she had gone through a short period of time when she had improved, but the vet had warned me that this was going to return, and it had returned. So her name was Katie, and Katie spent 2 weeks pushing me to get on that twin-size mattress pad. So I was getting absolutely no sleep. But at the end of the 2-week period, Katie wasn't limping any longer. So I called up my mom and I said, look, Katie is a dog. She has no placebo effect, and I want to go ahead and purchase a queen-size mattress pad so we can both get sleep. And she said to me, well, that's fine, but if you want to purchase it, now you have to join the company because I'm not going to sell you any more products wholesale.
Your mom was brutal. She just... absolutely brutal. I mean, you said before she wasn't doing the business just sharing products, but I love her not doing the business approach because it is a shining example of exactly what all of us can do is just have a kind of a couple angles to be able to share with folks and just stick to your guns and say, I'm going to do you a favor And I guess as a relative, we should, not necessarily that we have to be obligated, because I've sold products at retail to my family members, and I didn't lose any ounce of sleep over it. But I love the way that she's doing that. But she made it very clear that if you're going to do this, now you have to join what you called the cult, which definitely is not. I want to fast forward, because I remember meeting you on a cruise that my wife Stacy and I actually organized years ago, and you were still, to reuse the word, skeptical about the business side of things, because you did join, you invested in the sleep system, you got the results that I guess your body was looking for, and you get on this cruise now, and one of the neat things that we did, and we will do these again, if you've never been on a Nikan cruise, folks, and you're listening going, hey, sign me up, I want to be a part of that, was every night at dinner we rotated around at tables, because we had about, you know, depending on how many people were on board, we had a good portion of that dining room, and people would stay and we would rotate, you know, the diamonds and the royal diamonds, those people who had been in Nikan for a while, we'd rotate them around at different tables. So every night at dinner, you might have had the opportunity to sit with the same people, but more than likely there'd be a couple new faces. So the pioneers of, you know, Nikan, Dennis and Ruth Williams, Dave and Valerie Johnson, Reed and Yvonne Nelson, I mean, I can just go through all these litany of names, they would be at your table every night and you had somebody new. And that experience for you, Kathleen Duell, Trish Swinkler, Larry and Mary Lou
Branham.
Yeah, the Branhams, Chuck and Claudia Branham. You met some people, and did that change your perspective of what Nikan is and was? Or?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. My mom said to me that she wanted to take me on a cruise, and I understood it to be a four-day cruise. Turned out to be seven. And I'm like, I haven't had 7 days off in like 9 years. I can't be away. And she said, well, I've already signed you up. So anyway, the agreement we made was that I would eat dinner at these tables every evening, and I would attend one business meeting, because when we were out to sea, the meetings would be run, I believe, in the morning.
Correct.
So we were out, and first couple nights, or the first night, I can't remember who, but I do clearly remember having a conversation, and they'd always stick from next to me. I think that was set up. And so I'm sitting there with Dave Johnson, and Dave's telling me how he's so excited. He took his family back from, you know, the ski trip and so on and so forth. But nobody was, like, shoving Nikan down my throat. They were just normal, everyday people. And, you know, Mary Lou would, it seemed, well, if I went to the gym, there was Mary Lou. If I was on deck, there was somebody else. And then comes the business meeting. And I'm sitting in the room, and I had been in AT&T, and I had been in management. And the comment, they drew a picture of a pyramid. And there at the top was the CEO. And they happened to use the analogy of AT&T, that when you work at AT&T, you never get to the top. There's one person. And I felt like that presenter was speaking directly to me. And that night at dinner, someone, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they all had a major impact on me. And I had a complete switch, thankfully, at the beginning of the cruise. And I said, I just want to learn everything I can while I'm here. And I started to open up and just listen and watch. And I realized that the people really cared. They weren't trying to trick me into a corner where they could just, you know, shove Nikan down my throat. They cared about me. They cared about the other people. And this had true meaning to me.
You know, and June, what I, not remembering specifically about that experience for you, but I'm remembering looking back over 19 years, and I cannot champion that phrase louder than what you just said, that the people of Nikan, it's not about cramming something down others' throats. It's simply about being real, and as we do it, sometimes we don't do it as well as or as effective as we should be able to do it, but we're simply just sharing stories and sharing our experience, sharing our journey with other people in a way that they have to step back and say, you know, this is real. You're not backing down from your belief system and what these solutions are that you're using at home. That if they're honest, they will say that exactly as you did, and you had that heart change because I believe that was Dennis Williams that, and I don't know if he still uses that analogy, but drawing that pyramid and putting the structure of standard corporate America or standard business with one CEO at the top, and then drawing a second pyramid and flipping it upside down, where network marketing and Neekin being one of the truest definitions of how a network marketing company should work and does work, is that it's completely reverse. That everybody starts at the bottom, but we can all make it to the, you know, to where we want to be, even as a consultant, just being getting the solutions at wholesale, we can all have that opportunity. June, I'm curious because coming from that corporate side of things and working with AT&T, that obviously had to put some stress on your physical body, even though there was already enough. But what did you see and what did you experience and how long did it take once you made that decision to get a queen-size sleep system on your bed? Because that's not exactly a nickel-dime entry into the world of Neekin as far as a wellness home solutions. That you forked out some money.
I forked out some money, and in all honesty, it had taken me probably about another year from the time I purchased the products and joined the company to when we went on the cruise. When I came off the cruise, it was the middle of the month, and I clearly remember this because I was getting ready for some major life changes. And I went home, and I called up, the Branhams were staying at my mom's, and I said, what do I do next? And they told me there was an expo because a lot of the people had stayed in the area. I went ahead and held my breath, and I put $3,000 on a credit card. And I was already senior, I think, I was senior through the products I had purchased. And I went executive. And that particular month. So it was all done. It was the middle of the month. By the end of the month, I was executive. By the time the products arrived, I already had some of them sold. I invited 7 people to go to a wellness preview. I said, just show up. You'll hear all about it. I'm really excited about this. I did all the wrong things. I Xeroxed everything. I saved the seats in the back row and had all their little packages on the seats. And at the end of the meeting, I said to everybody, okay, now what you need to do is give me your credit card, sign up, and let's go meet the people at the front of the room. And 5 of the 7 did that.
So this was June Silva's Network Marketing 101 on how to build a business. Not exactly the right way, but you did it.
I did it.
But evidently, these friends of yours, these people you invited, they trusted you.
Mm-hmm. They were the only 7 people I knew in Orlando because I'd been working so hard at the other business.
Now, I have to ask this question. Are any of those 5 still with you today?
No. Nope.
No. Okay.
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
So they didn't necessarily, not that this is bad, but they didn't see the enthusiasm or they didn't, you know, what is something that could, but I presume they purchased and that, this is...
Oh, yeah. No, they didn't all leave right away, and it's kind of like what we've heard in the past, that the people that are, in many cases, the people that ultimately wind up being your leaders are people you haven't met the day you sign the application.
Sure.
But I will say that some of those folks did help me go silver and did build organizations. Mm. But, you know, they lost the vision, life gets in the way, whatever.
Well, and the beautiful thing about this, and this is something we all often don't remember or we forget quickly, is that any investment in a Neekin solution, if we take good care of that solution, that product, whatever it is, a sleep system, a pair of insoles, they'll pretty much, and I can say after 2 decades and going into my second, you know, full decade, 20 years at this point, I still have some of the stuff that I bought 20 years ago, and it still works fantastic. So if those people, if they'll use it and not throw it in a closet or throw it out in the garage, they're still benefiting today, even though they're not, you know, still, and you know, if they upgraded to what, you know, we have the replacement or simply, you know, got a new.
I will say, Vance, that some of the ones that I'm still in touch with, yes, they do use the products, and they do refer people to me.
So there's nothing wrong with that. Now, June, you've done a couple major moves since you started your Nikin journey, from, you know, going to New Jersey all by yourself and you know, utilizing conference calls because there wasn't a lot of people in Jersey doing anything with Nikin. Now you've relocated down to Florida, and that's been, what, a year and a half, a couple years ago now, if I remember?
14 months.
And all over again, what are some of the things that you do because there are so many of us that would say, well, I'm kind of an orphan out here. There, you know, my sponsor lives a couple states away, you know, and I can't do this because there's no local meetings.
Within 2 months of actually seeing the vision, I moved from Orlando back to New Jersey, so I was totally long distance. I started to find local meetings, which there were a few. I hooked into phone calls, and I would do three ways, and I still do three ways. I did the basics that we were taught to do, and I didn't know a lot of the people. I had met them, but they weren't intimate friends yet, and I can remember, you know, finding my upline and calling some of the people and not hearing back from them until I reached the people who were ready to respond and work with me. And then my mom and I would do things long distance. She did come up, went to visit. I mean, thankfully she's my mom, so, you know, she visits. And we did a 21 club, and that helped me. It was a success. That one, they're all successful, but that particular one met the criteria for the award. And, within 6 months, I was, well, actually in 5 months I won bronze, but didn't realize you're supposed to keep going. And so the following month I had to start all over again, and I went sober. So that was in August from, you know, seeing the vision in March.
Okay.
Or in February, rather. And I've carried that into my organization because a lot of the people in my group are long distance. But what I do, and I've done it more now over the past probably 4 or 5 years, is I search out a lot of networking groups. And I don't search out the majorly expensive ones. I look for ones that are, you know, reasonably priced. I ask for recommendations. I join various holistic organizations because these are places you're going to meet people. I'm definitely on, now that we have computers and phone calls and conference calls, I'm on just about, you know, not every single day, but, you know, the ones that I feel are important.
So you're using the telephone, you're using conference calls, which are absolutely free,
mm-hmm.
other than, you know, the long distance, but give me a break. $25-$30 a month for a long distance package for your landline, or if you've got unlimited minutes, again, it's free. But you're staying plugged in using that method of just the telephone and educating yourself that way, which I think is pivotal. But, and you said something about, I think you said joining networking groups. Who is it that you're wanting to network with, or is it that, you know, networking groups are the group of people who are out of the box. They're not the norm. They're the entrepreneurs. Is that why?
They lead me to people, Lance.
Okay.
I got involved with the chamber, and the chamber led me to other invites. And a lot of people on the call may have heard of BNIs. And as an example, when I moved back to Florida, you know, we'll speed ahead here, I knew like 4 or 5 people. That was it. Again, you know, I was moving into an area that my mom lives in, but I didn't know the people. And so I went online, and I started to look for places where I could meet people. I started reading the newspaper for events where I could be in front of people. And as an example, there was something going on at the senior center, and the senior center was having a health fair, so I took a little booth. Well, in all honesty, it was, you know, not the greatest event I ever went to. But because I did that, they invited me to do something free at the mall. Well, I wound up with 2 new consultants and probably sold about $400 worth of products that day. Now, I will say that the 2 new consultants didn't sign up that day. I do a lot of follow-up. I'm not somebody that just leaves it alone. And if anybody's on the call who knows me, they're laughing because that's something I constantly do.
I know you well enough. You're not following up and being that negative nag, dripping,
uh-uh.
as I like to say, the proverbs cantankerous woman. But you're massaging these relationships. You're keeping the channels open, the channels of communication. You're asking questions. You're constantly just you're just keeping in touch.
Well, I'm also getting to know the people. I mean, I've been here 14 months, and when I couldn't find any organization that I could join, I picked up some business cards as I would go along the way, and I would, like, you know, somebody was doing massage, I called the person up, and I suggested we meet at a Dunkin' Donuts or another coffee place, and I told them that I was thinking of starting a little group in my own home where we could help each other's businesses grow. And I did that. I finally had five people that I felt comfortable with and who were committed. And so I started a group meeting every other Monday in my house. Well, through that and through other people, I'm now involved in like four different groups. And I'm on probably six different email lists where I get invited to events. And I go to these events. I don't always take booths because booths can be expensive, and I want to do things that are duplicatable for my organization. I want to be able to do things that they can do. And I'd rather see them get their own products and their business cards. And I want to back up as I say that. One thing that was key for me when I went, the month I went bronze, at the beginning of the month, I finally sat down and I did my 100-person list and I ordered business cards. So I just want to put that out there. Well, magically, things started to happen, and I set a goal. But that group has led me to meeting other people, and at the holidays, at Christmas, I had close to 60 people in my home for an open house.
Well, June, what I think is so wonderful about the way you're sharing this is that if it's to be, it's up to me. We've all heard that phrase before, and if we haven't, we need to really let that sink in, because you've taken away all the excuses of, well, I don't know anybody. I can't be that sociable. Well, if your life has been impacted by what Nikan has given us, the solution or humans being more, then we have to kind of get outside of that proverbial box of being antisocial. And Emily, you've met our 10-year-old. She's doing a class project, and she interviewed me the other day at her age, in the fifth grade, at 10 years old, and she cannot believe that her father was shy and inward and kind of introvert. And she keeps looking at me with these raised eyebrows saying, "You, Daddy? You were shy?"
Oh, Vance, me too. I mean, I can remember going to a meeting in Colorado, and I had just gone silver, and they asked for all the new silvers to come on stage, and all I wanted to do was run out of the room. I didn't want to go up there. I was scared to death. But I did.
June, I think the reason I wanted to just spend a little time on that, and I appreciate you sharing that, because it really allows all of us to say, okay, come on, what excuses am I making? And if just as a side note, as a commercial, and I didn't plan on saying this, if you've not read or picked up the audio version of Dr. Wayne Dyer's book, Excuses Be Gone, it was very popular. I know that Larry Prophet and several other people endorsed it about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I keep referring to that, and I listen to the audio version of it, and it really does remind us of the fact that whatever these minions, is the word that Dr. Dyer refers to, that are up in our brain, these little demons that are saying, no, you can't do that, or you really shouldn't step out on the limb any further, we've got to make a decision in our own lives that the excuses have got to be gone. Again, the book is called Excuses Be Gone by Dr. Wayne Dyer. I've got the audio version. All this stuff is, you can just get it on Amazon for, you know, really, I mean, a fraction of the cost. But it really helps us understand that if this is to be, it is up to me. and we got to go out there. June, I want to finish with your sister's story, because I'm a firm believer that stories sell, and as you said, it wasn't the people on that cruise ship that they weren't selling me anything on how great Nika ended, but their stories sold me. And that's, they do, stories do sell. We need to tell more. But what happened with your sister?
Years ago, my sister was diagnosed with a disease called aplastic anemia and was given 3 months to live. Now, I will tell you that I searched the world because the only thing that was going to save her was my bone marrow, and we were not compatible. And so I felt responsible for my sister's life. And I found a treatment, and we went out to Seattle, and they did use my bone marrow, and she lived. But she's never been 100% healthy. Meanwhile, she and her husband decided to become missionaries, and they joined the mission field, and they, at this particular time, and it was right around the year 2000, were living in Hungary, Budapest, Hungary, or outside of Budapest. And we got a phone call that my sister had had a clot go to her brain, and she was in a coma. And my brother-in-law said, I really feel you need to get on an airplane and come now. So within 3 hours, I was on an airplane, and I arrived in Budapest, and my sister was in a deep coma. Now, my mom, who, you know, had been very ill, she arrived the next morning. And here we are in a foreign country. Nobody, hardly anybody speaks English. And she is definitely, we watched her go through the dying process 7 times.
Ooh.
And literally, my sister, and literally, they would have us come into the room to will her to live as they were bringing blood in by police escorts, because the medical system over there was a little different. And, you know, I mean, they were 10 years at that point out of communism. And so the one thing that you're allowed to do over there is bring in your own food. And she was on a feeding tube, not to keep her alive, but, you know, to, it wasn't, whatever that word is, you know, when they put people and they let them live for months and months.
This almost in an induced coma, or,
Well, no, she was in a deep coma. But
okay,
they were nourishing her. So they allowed us to bring in the Nikan nutritionals and give them to her through the feeding tube. They would grind them up. Because my sister and brother-in-law did have the water, they had the sleep, they had a lot of products over there. And so that was one thing that they felt was giving her the nourishment that her body needed, and she kept pulling out of these deaths, as, you know, she's nearing death. But she was at the point where, basically Thanksgiving, they had to transfer her to a bone marrow transplant hospital because they were better equipped. And at that point, she had been in the coma for, I guess, almost 5 weeks. And they basically said, there's no more we can do. You know, this is it. Now really prepare for the funerals. So we were sitting there Thanksgiving night. Meanwhile, they're praying. A team of doctors arrived. They go through the doors, and they went in one more time, scoped her, and tied off the internal bleeding. And 2 days later, my sister came out of the coma. And that in itself was fabulous. And then they said to us, she'll never walk again. And so they moved her, and they put her in what they called a step-down unit. And we asked if we could bring in some of the Nikan products. So we brought in the mattress pad, the Mad Boys, the socks, the Long Johns, and the water, obviously, and again, all the nutritionals. And from that point forward, my sister, 24/7, was surrounded by Nikan products. And their physical therapy over there, and I have pictures of all this, is basically giving somebody a badminton handle and a ball and walking on them up and down the hallways and up and down the steps. And meanwhile, my sister's getting better and better. And she was able, with my brother-in-law's assistance, to leave the hospital on Christmas Day and spend Christmas in her apartment in their house in Hungary. And still her memory wasn't coming back as quickly, and her reading skills and her writing skills. And so by now I'm back in the States, and I had set up some products over there, and one of the things that was recommended was to use the headband and mental clarity, so we got her that. And my sister now, I mean, happens to be visiting this week in Florida, and she's walking, she's talking, she's functioning, she still has this disease, but my sister, you would not know if you met her today that her body had gone through what it went through. And not only that, but my mom didn't get sick, I didn't get sick, and my brother-in-law didn't get sick.
Wow.
We all remained healthy. The only thing that happened with me was when I came back to the United States, I did have to go through and sit with a doctor for a couple weeks and just kind of desensitize, because I had seen things go on with her body that you wouldn't typically see unless you were a medical person because of the way they operate over there.
Sure.
But I didn't come back and just collapse and have this whole, like, you know, flu come on or anything like that, because, you know, we were sometimes at that hospital 2 and 3 days just dozing off on our seats. You know, we weren't exactly getting a lot of good rest.
You know, and June, I see this little ticker message at the bottom of the screen for the infomercials that says, you know, these results not typical. And I just want to remind folks that just because you've had this experience with the Nikan Solutions, just because your mom and your sister, but bottom line, when we change the environment and provide a better environment for the body to thrive, or put it back into nature. It was Roger Jummer a week ago up in Seattle so beautifully reminded of this, that if we just step outside, and some of us can't do this because there's a foot of snow on the ground or it's very, very cold, but if we step outside, kick our shoes and socks off, and just make contact with the earth, and it just kind of, for a few minutes even, absorb some of that magnetic energy that's there, our bodies will thrive. And that's just something that we don't ever do. But then he also reiterated the fact of, imagine what your body can experience just by using a pair of magnetic insoles, a pair of mag steps, mag strides. And because our bodies need this. That's the reason why God made the earth a big magnet. June, I so appreciate, because you started with one story and you shared so many others. We can't make any medical claims. However, at the same time, we can just share stories. We're not claiming that the Nikan Solutions are going to heal everybody. You've not once alluded to that. You just simply said, this is what happened for me. And people that I was able to introduce it to, or my mom was able to introduce it to, that's all we really can do.
Can I say something? At the beginning of the conversation, I mentioned how I was. Now, what I will tell you is that I've lost close to 90 pounds.
I don't know if you necessarily lost it, because you're not going out and you're not looking for it again, are you?
I'm never going to look for that again. My cholesterol, I just had a complete physical, and when you move to Florida, they send you to every doctor in the world. But my bone density is about 15 years younger than what it should be. My cholesterol's come down, I think it's now 73 points. My blood work is absolutely perfect. And the doctor's exact words to me were, well, gee, there's nothing we can prescribe for you. And I said, gee, is that a problem? And I started to tell him some of the things I'm doing. He's like, oh, well, I don't believe in any of that. But meanwhile, his med student was Googling. And he and I met outside the office, and I said, do you believe in alternatives? And he said, absolutely, and I want to know more. So I just wanted people to know that, you know, and my neck problems, you know, I'm when people see me today who haven't seen me in, you know, 2 or 3 years, they tell me it's night and day. You know,
and June, for the record, you already addressed the weight issue. And, you know, that other question that a dude is never supposed to ask a gal. What are you age-wise? How many years young are you today?
I'm 64 days away from turning 60.
I love
and
it.
And I've taken up tennis in the last year, and my instructor informed me last week that I'm now playing comparable to those that he has given lessons to for 4 to 5 years.
Wow.
And it's time for me to get involved in a league.
Wow. So you're the perfect example of letting no moss grow on this rock and just keep rolling along. And why should we slow down? And that's a beautiful thing. And as one of, I'm reminded of this because my parents are 10 years ahead of you, almost exactly. And everybody thinks they're crazy because they just don't slow down. And part of that is because they feel a mandate that is against their moral obligation that if they did slow down, they'd be missing the opportunity and being disobedient, literally, to what they've been exposed to in the life that they've enjoyed for the last couple decades. So, June, I appreciate you taking the time. And for those of you who maybe missed the intro, our guest this morning has been June Silva. And what part of Florida are you in again right now?
Boynton Beach.
Boynton Beach. So on the that's on the west side, correct?
No, that's on the east coast,
between
Boca Raton and West Palm Beach.
Okay, so where everybody dreams of one day living, and you're not saying, I don't know about that, but from the east coast, and June, I really, really appreciate the way you shared, again, just sharing stories, and really that if it's to be, it's up to me. And that if we want to see things grow, and maybe we just want to be a wellness consultant and use what Nikan's given us for our own benefit, but at the same time, there is kind of that moral obligation to get out there and share them with other people. And if we're going to do that, we've got to take the first step. And you're a perfect example of that. So,
oh, thank you.
And if you know somebody, as a quick reminder, if you know somebody that you think would relate, or you want to go back and hear one of the points that June made, you can always catch the recording at www.saturdayamlive.com, and give Steve a couple hours for the recording to be up there, and you can tap into that. Or, and also, you can hear any of the other recordings that we've done over the last decade. And or last few years. But June, thank you for being on the call. I appreciate it greatly.
Well, thank you for asking.
Look forward to chatting with you again real soon. So, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning.
To learn more about Nikan, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.